All right, let's get John Lovitz and bring him in here. Do we have a seat for him? Yeah. Looks like there's no seat over there. John Lovitz is going to be coming to the Improv this weekend. He will be there tonight at 8 o'clock, Friday at 8 o'clock, Saturday at 7:30 and 10. You get tickets at ImprovTampa.com. You know, of course, know John Lovitz from Saturday Night Live.
The Critic.
The Critic, which everybody loves The Critic. But Critic was a little bit ahead of itself, I think, as far as animation goes.
Fantastic in The Wedding Singer.
He's fantastic in every movie because he just has to make the one face, the surprise John Lovitz
right,
face.
Yeah.
And no matter, because he's been in some movies that were terrible where he was funny.
Right, yes. Yeah. He is one of those guys. He's always going to do a good role.
High School High was one of those movies. Not there a great movie, but he was
Hello,
hilarious.
John. Very nice to see you. Do you remember us? You've been here before. We were friends for a little while.
No.
Hi.
Now that I'm looking at you.
Let me tell you, John Lovitz is one of the few people that I say, I'm going to come see you at the Comedy Club. And I actually went to the show, and it was very funny. Yes.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
I'm great.
You are great. I brought you a gift today. Because you're a...
Where is she?
You were a...
Hello.
The result of John Lovitz being a jerk last time is a gift this time. So do you remember we went to... I ran into you at the Yankee game last time. You were on the show on Friday, and then Saturday I saw you at the Tampa Yankee game.
Oh, okay.
And we were over there, and John took a picture. I took a picture of him and Reggie Jackson together.
Okay.
And I said, this is like 5 hours that we had spent together being friends for the day. And I said, do you want me to text it to you? And you looked at me and you went, no. Because then you just want my phone number. And I don't think you ever got the picture, so I printed it out for you in case you wanted it. You can throw it away when you leave. You won't hurt my feelings. I just didn't know if you wanted it or not. It's Reggie Jackson.
You can't.
I mean, how do you not? How do you not? Yeah.
No, I appreciate that very much. No thank problem. You.
How have you been? How's everything going?
I'm great. I've just been traveling, you know, all over the country doing stand-up.
You love doing stand-up?
Yeah.
You do, really? Like, I try to see when all comedians, I go, you're so rich. Why are you still doing this? And they're like, oh, I love it. It's my true thing. And I'm like, I thought you do stand-up, like, to get out of it and do something else. Like, as a stepping stone.
Well, I started doing it 12 years ago. I was going to do it years ago, right after I got out of college. And a guy teaching a free workshop said they weren't hiring stand-ups for sitcoms.
Right.
And he was... I believed him, but I didn't realize they weren't hiring him. You know, of course they were, but I started doing it, and I love it, and I love making people laugh. I mean, I just do. So when you get on stage, I'm going to make you laugh. It's a lot of fun.
It's very fun, and I was explaining when you walked in the door that if you've been in a movie... The movie could be terrible, but if you get one Lovitz surprise face in the movie, it's made the whole movie.
Thank you.
That movie, what was I think I asked this last time, I can't remember. The movie where you played, where it was like a Mad, Mad World movie, where you were all on a hunt for something.
Oh, Rat Race.
Rat Race,
yeah.
That whole scene with you and the Hitler Museum, I mean, that was hilarious. You put anybody else in there, and that's just dumb. You put you in there, and that was hilarious.
Andy Breckman wrote that movie. He's a great comedy writer, and... He created the show Monk, and he used to write on Letterman and Saturday Night Live. Uh-huh. And he's one of the only comedy writers I know that's probably the only one that's, like, really a funny person, too. Like, he could be a comedian. He's so funny, and his sense of humor is silly, and he's very witty. And most of them are just they're nice people, but they're not really funny. They kind of think everything through like a scientist.
And then they let you do the funny.
Yeah, but he's genuinely... He's hilarious, and I love his sense of humor. So he came up with that whole bit.
What's your favorite movie that you've done? Like, what are you most proud of?
I guess, as far as doing the character, A League of Their Own, and then as far as just playing, like, instead of, you know, doing the different voice and everything, like, just me.
Yeah.
Using mostly just myself, it would be... City Slickers 2. I played Billy Crystal's brother.
That was
a great part.
How is that filming? Was that just awesome being around? Like, is Billy Crystal fun to be around, or is he, when the cameras are off, is he, like, boring?
No, he's great to work with, you know, and he really cares about it. Yeah, we became very close friends, and I liked it, and I liked working with them. Jack Palance was terrific.
That had to be fun. Especially on the second one.
Yeah, I remember I went to this high school, and his son went to the same school, so I knew his son, and I'd see him at these baseball games, you know.
Yeah.
and he didn't remember me, of course, but I remember seeing him there. And I really, you know, I was thrilled to be working with him.
Where'd you grow up?
In Los Angeles.
Oh, you did. You're an LA guy.
Mm-hmm.
And what was your first thing that you did that you consider like the first successful thing? No, I mean like when you went to college, like what was the first role or something that you got that you're like, oh, here I am.
When I got Saturday Night Live, I remember thinking, I think I made it. Mm-hmm. Like I made it.
What did you audition with for that? Like what did? What is that noise?
Oh, dog.
It's my dog.
You have a dog here? Let me see that thing.
Yeah.
What kind of dog is it?
Teacup Great Dane.
Oh, man. People do get dogs that look like them. Like, the dogs are in relation to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'd have a big old St. Bernard or something. That's you right there, that little dog. That's
the
dog version
of
you. Yeah, it is. It's cute and weird all at the same time.
I think his poop is a dog version of you.
Burn.
Tell me about this story. You engaged to this young girl. What was that all about?
Oh, that. No,
nobody's going to bring that up. This story, 58-year-old John Lovitz gets engaged to Jessica Lowndes, who is she? I don't know her name or what it is. She's just Megan Fox looking 27-year-old. And be like, oh, that. Who?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who? What is going on there?
We're friends. I met her doing Hawaii Five-0.
Yeah.
And she's a great songwriter and...
She loves you?
...musician as a friend. So she did this music video and she asked me to star, you know, be in it with her.
Right.
And then she hired a company... And she said, hey, they had an idea to make the video go viral. So their idea was she would tweet about who she was dating, an older man, but just not say who it was.
Right.
Then it turned out it was me. And the internet went nuts. It went all over the world.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
So
I remember thinking, who cares what I'm doing?
Are you kidding me? That's great news for 50-something-year-old men everywhere. That you could possibly.
Well,
get.
Yeah, but it was. They're going. Oh well, if he could get a girl like that, then I could. And the answer to that is no. No, you couldn't.
You honestly.
Well, what do you have that I don't?
You know my.
Where
favorite?
Do I begin?
Bobcat Goldthwait. Okay, who
super
is
super funny?
Super funny.
I'm talking about me.
I
know. Yeah. I'm super
both.
Funny.
Both
I have tremendous charisma.
Bobcat Goldthwait.
I'm huge.
Looks good now. He's a director. He's had some good stuff under his belt. But back in the day, he went from those crazy police academy movies, and nobody heard of him for a little while. And then the next news story was dating Nikki Cox. And then when you ask him about it, he couldn't believe why anybody was surprised by that.
Yeah,
she
right.
was like 19 and gorgeous, and he was the guy from the police academy movies. And he was like, I don't understand what everybody gets. I don't understand. In this case, I just think it's because there was such an age difference between the two of you.
No, I got why everyone went. Yeah. I'm not.
But you get hot girls.
You get
hot girls.
Yeah.
I know. Google.
I'm not trying to get hot. I'm attracted to who I'm attracted to.
Yeah, hot girls. That's normal.
Well, everyone, I know, when I was, like, on Saturday Night Live, everyone said, oh, you only like models, and I go, yeah, I like beautiful women. I guess I'm the only man in the world.
Yeah, what a weirdo.
But the point is that, you know, I'm just a regular guy, and then I get on Saturday Night Live, and then I start meeting all these beautiful models,
right.
Beautiful, stunning girls, and then they want to go out with you. So I go, well, why wouldn't I?
You know?
I mean, who wouldn't?
Of course. I think most guys are jealous of it. I'm
yeah,
happy for you.
You know, it's like a, you know.
Who's the hottest girl you've ever gone out with? You can give me top three. You don't have to narrow it down if you want. I know it's like asking your favorite movie.
Well, let's see. Bridget Bardot.
No. Come on great. Now.
Sophia Loren.
Probably not.
No, but I was like 20 and they were like 38. They were still gorgeous.
Who'd you go out? Let me see. Who's that girl? Who's that girl with the large breast?
Where?
There with? John Lovitz, 2006.
Is there a picture behind my head?
Yeah, there's a TV up there. I'm trying to see who that is. Who is that?
Oh, Janice Dickinson.
Oh, is that Janice Dickinson?
Nice.
She looks good there. Did you bang her?
Yeah, there. She looks a lot different now.
Yeah.
Yeah. What year was that? What year did you guys, were you
well,
guys
that
dating?
That was a while ago.
Were you dating or is that another one of your friends?
For a minute.
Yeah.
We were friends, you know.
She said that in an interview with Howard Stern that John was the best well-hung man she had ever been with.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
No, she said I was the best in bed.
Best in bed.
Oh, yeah.
That's still a very good accomplishment.
Get it right.
That's a better accomplishment.
When you are making sweet love to Janice Dickinson, you're like, I'm making love to Janice Dickinson. Like, do you think about it in your head that she's famous? Because you know a couple girls have been like, I can't believe I'm banging John Lovitz.
What is wrong with
while
you?
While it's happening, they're like, the reality
is
setting
in. Keep your hands above the table. I am not your masturbatory fantasy reel.
I'm curious about this.
I didn't do anything. I don't know why she said that. I mean, it was...
What do you have? A technique in bed that you do?
No, with her, it was maybe 50% of what I can do.
Oh, really? Oh, how bad?
No, it wasn't even like... I wasn't even like... She was just got very excited, you know.
Yeah.
She is a human being. Mm-hmm. And it is me.
Not anymore.
Right.
No, she's a very nice lady. And you know, the thing about her is she's really nice and she's really smart. But seriously, she wrote a book about it. She was so abused as a kid. Like, horrible. I mean, just horrible. So, you know, it messes you up.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course.
So I understand her, but...
And she...
It's...
You still talk to her? You see her around?
Yeah.
Who, what other... I want to see some more... I want to know some more ladies in the Lovitz life.
Well, you've got all these pictures behind me.
I know. I'm trying to see... Give me some more, Carmen. I like this. We'll show you what Google tells you, and then John can explain. Who's that? Chrissy Teigen? Did you break a piece off of that before John Legend?
No, she was...
You were the original Johnny Legend.
She tweeted that the thing with Jessica and I, she didn't believe it.
Oh. Shut up, you big pie-faced Chrissy Teigen.
I've never met her. I met John Legend once, her husband. He was very nice.
Yeah. But, you know,
met
she's
him
a minor
in a
own business.
Car wash.
Mm-hmm. Was he working there?
You racist.
No.
No. No,
I didn't know
it
was a long time
wash.
Ago.
Jesus.
Who else?
There? What is wrong with you?
I don't know.
You're trying to be like Howard Stern, right? Just whatever pops in your head, you'll say it.
I'm at. Is that? Is he the only one who does that?
Him and now you?
He's the only two on radio.
I have questions. That's what we're supposed to do. What do you want me to ask you?
I like this.
What was your inspiration for League of Their Own? Is that better? I want to know, John Lovitz, about the girls that you've made sweet love to. There's a picture of you and Alan Thicke up there. I don't think you're...
Did you bang Alan Thicke?
I know. No.
What are you wearing? Look at that picture. What are you wearing there?
It's a robe, it looks like.
Oh, that's at the Playboy Mansion.
Yeah.
You go there a lot?
That's his wife. Yeah, it's Midsummer Night's Dream Party.
Do you go there a lot to the Playboy Mansion? Will you miss it when it's not the Playboy Mansion?
Yeah, I will. Yeah, they have like a movie night on Sunday.
Yeah.
I never did anything up there. I mean, it's nice. It's the same friends, but...
Who is at the movie night when you go? Half and the girls and Tony Curtis?
His wife and... Tony Curtis. He passed away.
I just don't know who are the guys that always hang out there.
Friends of his that he's had been friends with for, you know, 30, 40, 50 years.
Right.
But, you know, it's nice, but it's sad because a lot of the people have passed away, you know, and it's tough to see his brother, Keith, who was just the nicest guy ever, just passed away. It's tough.
So then that legend's gone now, right? Once Hef passes away.
Yeah, and he's the nicest man in the world.
Yeah.
And really fun to talk to. And it was, you know, of course, if you get a chance to go there, everybody go, I want to, I'll go.
Yeah.
And, but it's, on Sundays, well, he shows movies like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, too.
Yeah.
Fortunate enough to be invited to, you know, go and have dinner and watch the movies. It's nothing.
I went there one time around Christmas time. And the landscape.
Oh,
and
yeah,
the building.
Right. You were at the Playboy Mansion.
I was.
Right.
Me, the Sam,
Tony Curtis,
and Howard
Dean
Stern. But no, you look. The property is beautiful, and then you look in the main house, and there was like 15 gingerbread houses there. And the girl that I was with said, "Yeah, last night Hef and all the girls made gingerbread houses." And you thought that's the real life. That's what he's living. He's still. It's not for show. It's not making. It's just him and the girls making gingerbread houses.
I remember the first time I went there, and you see everything. It was that Midsummer Night's Dream Party.
Right.
You see all the girls, and you see this aviary with all these exotic birds and different kinds of monkeys, like a zoo, and peacocks, and the pool with the waterfalls, and then there was an aquarium and snakes and all kinds of fish, and Yeah, and the game room and the everything, and you go, I just remember thinking, my God, he did it. He did it. He had this dream and he built it. And I don't know. I was just like, you built your fantasy.
That's the thing. And how you did
it. Built it and made it.
And how you got it. Like, you've got everything in this house that you could wish for.
Yeah, and I asked him, I said, did you ever think you'd be living like this? He goes, no, God, no. He goes, I go, trying to get the first issue out
of
the magazine. He goes, I never thought about it. I go, do you look around and appreciate it? He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, "I, it's amazing to me.
It's and the property itself is beautiful. And then that's not even where he lives. Like, he's got another one just the same size right across the street there.
From 1920. I think it was built in the 20s. And it's, you know, like this big gothic mansion. It's really cool. And they had, like, in the living room, you know, it's all this, you know, big stone fireplace. And then built in, there's an organ. You know, like you'd hear,
like,
in silent
school
movies.
Yeah,
built into the home, a full
on. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's something to see. And he's extremely nice, extremely generous. And, you know, it's sad. It'll be very sad.
That whole end of that era is going to happen. Well, anyway, John Lovitz is here. John Lovitz is going to be doing a comedy at the Improv tonight, Friday night, and then two shows on Saturday. You can get tickets at improvtampa.com. What do you do with the dog when you're on stage?
We don't have sex.
Like, no, I meant while you were working. I meant while
you realized you're trying to live through me.
No, I'm not living through you.
I'm curious about your
life. I mean, like, just like you are impressed with what Hef created, I say, look at John Lovitz. He must be loving his life.
I do love my life.
Yeah, that's the good stuff that I want
to
know about.
Honestly, I mean, I get to, when I think about it, I mean, I travel to a city, and then I get on stage, and I get to make people laugh.
Right.
And they have a great time, and I have a great time, and then I get paid for it. It's crazy.
It's the best thing ever.
It's the best.
And there's nobody that doesn't like you. Like, you're not one of those guys, well, some people love him, some people hate him. He's John Lovitz. You love him.
Well, thank you. I mean, you know, there's a few people that don't, and then I realize, well, I don't really like them, and then it turns out they're mentally ill.
who are you friends with? Like, who are your buddies that you hang out with?
Well, some comedians, you know, Dana Carvey's one of my best friends.
Yeah,
on the show, and Bobby Slayton, and
you can hang out with Bobby Slayton for more than like a half hour.
Yeah, we're good friends.
Yeah,
he's very funny.
He is very funny.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, I don't know, David Spade and the...
So you pretty much stay, you have that clique of...
Well, then I have my friends I grew up with.
Yeah, that's what I want to know. You still hang out with your childhood friends?
Well, yeah, but I mean, everybody's working and busy. But yeah, we're still... Yeah, I mean, we talk about it. One of them I was friends with when I was three.
Mm-hmm.
He's like one of my first friends ever. And then the guy, my friend David Kudrow, is Lisa Kudrow's brother when I was 11.
Uh-huh.
And then the other two, I mean, the other three guys, some of them knew each other. Then we all became friends on eighth grade.
Gotcha.
When we were 13, and we're still all friends. And we talk about it all the time. We go, God, it's rare. Like, we stayed friends. And,
yeah.
But it's great. You know?
What did your parents do? Were they in entertainment at all?
No, my father was a doctor, and
okay.
He was from Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh, really?
Wasn't he the doctor for the Jackson
Vince
family?
Spadia? Yeah, he was.
For the who?
The Jacksons. Michael Jackson.
The Jacksons?
Yeah.
Not like in the late days, the early Jackson
early
5.
Days.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, not.
Yeah.
No, that one, no. That,
your father didn't put him down, did he?
No, no, no.
Yeah.
No, if my dad was his doctor, then that wouldn't have happened.
Well,
he would have, no, he wouldn't, that would never have happened.
I went to see you do the stand-up last time. It was a very good show. And at the end, you played the piano. And I had no idea you had those skills.
Yeah, I still do that and sing about Bob Saget.
Uh-huh.
It's fun. People like it. Yeah, well, I became a stand-up, you say, well, who am I going to be on stage? And then you go, what kind of, you know, what's my, quote, comic persona?
Right.
And then I realized it's me.
It's you.
And that would be the funniest, just me. And then I thought, well, there's different kinds of comedians, like Jerry Seinfeld. They'd say, well, he's observational, or Bill Maher, he's like political, or this one's this. I mean, you can do whatever you want. So I just thought, well, I'll just be funny. Whatever I think's funny, I stick in the act. So I do stuff about politics. I do stuff about myself. I make fun of myself. I do stuff about racism, which I hate.
Right.
I hate it, and I can't believe it's still going on, because I thought our generation was going to, like, that was the end of it.
Yeah,
we got it, and we go, okay, we're done.
That's what we were saying. Like, we thought we all just hated Middle Easterners now. Like, we hated blacks, hated whites, and then all of a sudden, for, like, the last 20 years, we're like, let's just hate the Muslims. We were good with that, and then all of a sudden, we're back to hating each other again.
Yeah. Well, I don't think people hate each other, but I did a show. You know, anyone who says, well, I understand it. If you're not black or African-American living in America, you don't know. You just don't.
Hmm.
So you got to say, so I have friends, and I say, well, what is it? And they tell me, you know, and they said, we can't get loans to buy a home or start a business or this. We, you know, it's just tough. Is there money in the communities? Yes, but it's less, you know.
Right.
And there's just a lot of things. If you really sit down and talk, and one of my friends, Alex Thomas, is a comedian. And he grew up in Compton in L.A., but he went to school in Beverly Hills because his father was one of the founders of Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Wow.
But his dad stayed living there. So he saw both sides. He was friends with Ice Cube growing up. I go, well, how did you know Ice Cube? He goes, well, my mother was friends with his mother.
Wow.
And he said when he was 21, he said, I got to get out of here. He went to 15 funerals.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine like 15 of your friends being murdered by the time you're 21?
No.
I mean, it's awful. And so... And when he goes out, I see both sides, because he also has a business, besides a stand-up comedy, he has another a business, and he's very successful and works really hard.
But yet still had to deal with
all. And he goes, I see both sides, and when people go, well, you know, the guy won't hire me because I'm black, and he says, well, maybe it's that tattoo on your face, you know, what are you talking? But he goes, but I see both sides, you know, so it's more complicated than that. But the one thing I know is that if people are complaining about being abused, they're being abused. They're not making it up.
No,
not, because you wouldn't, you know, if someone's really nice to you all the time, you're not going to complain about the person.
Yeah,
I love them. They're so nice to me.
Right, but there's sometimes I believe the police are reacting more to a statistic than they are to the color of somebody's skin, or they're like, hey, the last 8 of the 10 guys that I pulled over that had dreads in their hair were arrested for marijuana possession.
Well, I don't know, but that's the thing. I'm not judging the police either, because
right.
I'm not a policeman, and you'd have to ask them. I ask the people who are involved in the situation, what's going on? What's really going on? What's the story? And you'll find out, you know. So I'm not judging
police
either. I mean, of course, you know, people complain about the police, but when you need them, you're so thrilled that they're there.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Wait till those 3 guys trying to knock your front door down. Then everybody loves the police. John Lovitz is here. Let's go back.
Well, it's just, you know, no one's being honest. You say, okay, well, you're not black. So if you could be black in America, would you be? And everyone's like, no. Well, why not? Because you know that it's harder if you're black in America. It just is. It's just a fact.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I know what you're saying, but I don't know. That's the one thing I said after all this went down, as I said, you know, I took the whole day and I realized I don't know. I've never lived that.
I can tell you an example which shows you how kind of dumb I am, and you don't think about it, but I was in Los Angeles in this car wash, and this guy came up to me, a black guy, and he's with his two friends, and he said, hey, my cousin's trying to be a stand-up. Can you give him some advice? I said, sure. So I talked to the guy, and I said, what are you doing? And he told me, I said, well, all right, well, you're doing everything I was going to tell you to do.
Right.
And then this guy that came up to me goes, and he's, you know, African-American guy, nice guy looking guy. He goes, what if I told you I spoke Hebrew? Would you believe me? I go, well, yeah, I guess, because why would you say that? He goes, well, I am. And his name, he's a black guy, figured from Los Angeles, but his name's Steve Levitt. He's an international lawyer.
Uh-huh.
Lawyer in international law. But we're talking, and Brentwood is like 90% Jewish, the suburb.
Right.
But he goes, he gets hassled in Brentwood. And I, like an idiot, go, you do? Why? I go, everyone is Jewish in Brentwood. You're Jewish. Why would they hassle you? And he goes, because I'm black.
Yeah.
I went, oh, right. You know, I mean, you know, I don't
didn't
think
get
that.
It. Yeah,
I don't,
yeah.
Well, I don't think that way. I don't think I'm going to hassle someone because of I don't. But it was, and he made the great point. He goes, you know, there's so many levels we have to get through of you looking at me and me looking at you and the race and the religion, everything you have to get through before you get to the person.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
And he's right. And so...
In these
I think the solution would be just say, stop dividing everyone with, well, what race are you, what religion, what's your gender, what's your preference? just say, okay, the president would go, we're all Americans. I don't care what you are. You're an American citizen. So everyone goes, oh, you're American? You're American. Okay.
Yeah.
And not that you would treat someone who's not American bad, but if you just said, oh, a fellow citizen, how are you? How are
right,
you?
Right.
Everyone's immigrants except the Indians.
Yep.
And they're treated them wonderfully. Horrible, you know.
On a side note,
I just think if people looked at each other that way, that's the only thing that's going to help starting to get rid of it anyway.
Yeah.
A start.
Rob over there.
I'll be here all week.
Can you do me a favor? Can you get John Lovitz a bottle of water before he chokes to death?
What did you put? I have water.
I mean, like, I'm thinking, how many times does the man have to cough before somebody in the staff reacts to go get water? Spanish, mostly.
You tell me.
That's what I'm saying. Rob is our producer. He just started doing comedy a couple months ago. He's going to open mics and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, me. Hi.
How's it going?
Good, I would say. I mean, it's been 7 months, and I've gotten, I'm doing some paid gigs now, so it's not just open
mics.
Wow,
that's quick. Good for you.
Yeah, so it's definitely challenging. I didn't realize how difficult it is to do what John does until you actually go up and try and do it yourself.
Right.
It's not like when you're a band, and if you're the lead singer, you forget a lyric, you can turn, and people will pay attention to the other guys. You're the only person
there by yourself.
And it's all on you. That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I know. Well, believe me, it's hard. It took me 20 years to get the guts to even start. And my heart, I would start, my heart would be pounding in my chest.
Yeah.
I'd say that Jamie Masada, who owns the Laugh Factory in LA, go, you got to push me up on stage. He goes, okay, you're up next. I'm like, what? He goes, come on. I go, oh, God. But Dana Carvey gave me great advice. He said, just keep getting up and eventually that fear goes away. But it's, you watch a comedian on stage and they're great. They look so easy.
Yeah.
And then you watch a guy bomb and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And just like you said, it's no different for me. You get up there. I remember in the beginning, I'm like, well, where's the comic that, oh, it's me? And there's just it's just nothing up there and you're looking around. It's right, and then they're like, you know, you tell a joke and they laugh, and then they just stop.
Yeah,
and we're like,
more jokes, funny guy.
And then you're thinking, oh, another one, oh, da 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 da. And they laugh, stop, and I remember thinking, God, it's like they're just staring at me, waiting for me to make them laugh. And you're like, it's uncomfortable at first because it naturally you're alone, you're up there looking at a crowd of people, so it's like you. Your instinct is like run.
Right, right. You the fear of seeing all that, the fear of failing.
Well, the fear of being eaten and beat up. That's just your instinct says it's me against, there's 300 people and there's just me. Oops.
When's the last time you bombed?
I don't remember.
That's what I'm saying. Was it a long time ago or you're like, I don't know, for some reason in Cleveland?
Well, every audience is different. You know Red Buttons, the comedian?
Yeah.
Legendary comedian. Like, I never saw him bomb ever, and I knew him. And years ago, I said, hey, Red, I'm going to start doing stand-up. Do you have any advice? Which is like asking, you know, one of the best stand-ups in the history of comedy. You know, it's like being a baseball player or basketball player, and you go to Willie Mays or Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
All right, I want to play basketball. Any advice? You know, you're going to the top guy ever.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, just know you can't always do 100%. You know, not every show will be your best show. I said, why? He goes, well, you could do a show and get a standing ovation, and then go across the street, do the exact same show, and get nothing.
Yeah.
And I said, why? He goes, the audience, you know, they're always different. But overall, you know, you learn, and I don't know. I mean, there's been times when I'll be doing it, you know, and everyone's laughing at everything, and it's just great, and I know it. But there's times when I'll do it, and they're not laughing at everything, and I'm like, God, do they get it? Like, do they hate me or what?
Yeah.
And then at the end, I get a standing ovation, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You know, so it's just, you just learn to deliver your act, and now if they don't laugh, sometimes they don't. You know, I go, okay, I'm just going to practice my act, and then it starts making me laugh. If they're not laughing at a joke, 99.99% of the time it's you. It's like you didn't set it up right, or it's not clear. I mean, they want to laugh. They're not, you know, but so you think, well, okay, what didn't I do that they didn't get the joke?
Right.
Because I'll do new material, and then I'll go, I know the idea is funny, but they're not laughing. Okay, what am I?
Tweak it until you get it right.
Yeah, how am I not setting it up right?
Oh, Rob? Stick with it, John Lovitz says.
I bombed for the first time two nights ago.
Well, I wouldn't say the first time.
Well, the first time at a paid show. Oh, I bombed at open mics, but open mics, nobody's really paying attention. Nobody's really there to do well. You're trying new stuff, but to go on a show and bomb, that's a very difficult thing. But
here's the thing, though. First of all, you got up, so congratulations. That's the hardest thing. The hardest thing is just they call your name and you get up in front of that audience. That's harder than, takes more guts than anything. So the fact that you could say you bombed or whatever. Your material didn't work. Didn't laugh. So you have to go, okay, why was it? And usually it's you. You don't blame the audience. But sometimes it could be. And sometimes, like, was it really warm in there?
That's true. If I'm uncomfortable sitting there.
Because if it's too warm, they stop laughing.
Yeah.
There were a lot of things that it was me, believe me. But there were a lot. The guy before me crushed. He was a national touring guy who came in and did a guest spot and killed for 10 minutes. And then I went up there and I didn't deserve to be on that bill after I watched
it. No, but it's hard. I followed a guy. They get a standing ovation and then you go next. It's very hard to follow.
Yeah.
Because they're into what just happened, and they're still thinking about it.
Especially where you, like...
So that's tough. That's one reason. And then you got to look at your material. But that would be a big reason why. Not because you're no good, but they're still thinking about the other guy, and then you start talking, and they're not really focusing on you.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how you do it in L.A., because I've driven by the Marquee, and they're like, tonight, seven of the best comedians in the television.
I don't do the clubs anymore, because I find that the audience is there. They're not so much there to laugh, but to be seen.
Right.
And then you just go down the road to 17 miles to Hermosa Beach, and it's like being out of town.
Oh, yeah.
And people, you know, around the country and clubs, it's great because you're there. They appreciate it. They're paying good money to see you, and they're into the show. And you need the audience to listen.
Right.
You really need them, and you feed off of them.
Well, I tell you, I did enjoy it last time. We came out to see you, and I thought it was very funny.
Thank you.
I did. I came out.
Yeah, you were probably going, he's so funny. And in your mind, you're going, and I'm picturing him with Janice Dickinson. I'm picturing him naked right now. Oh, I'm enjoying that, too.
Why do you have to go there? I just was, listen to me.
Why can't you just take a compliment?
Was that a compliment?
No, that's what you're thinking about me. John, I just said I enjoyed your show, and you lash out. Yeah, but you're laughing.
Yes, I think you're very funny.
Thank you.
I do. I think you're very funny.
Well,
and
I really appreciate that.
But see, most of the time, like, you get a guy who's known for, like, movie funny, and then you're like, oh, stand-up's going to be terrible, and it usually is, but I had a good time. So I would recommend seeing John Lovitz.
As would I.
Yeah. We brought you a keyboard. Do you want to play the piano?
Sure.
Give him the thing. You're very good at playing. How long have you played?
Since I'm 8.
Mm-hmm. You can tell. Properly trained.
Is it on?
Yeah.
All right. Here's a song I wrote.
Ooh, why is that so?
I don't know. It's
you didn't write that song.
All right, so
liar.
I wrote it down. I didn't say me. What do you want to hear?
I don't know. What do you like to play? No wonder you get laid so much.
You're picturing me naked, Jen's a Dickinson. You're a perv.
You have a giant piano in your house?
Not as big as my
organ.
That's almost, you're funny and you can do that. That's how you get laid off. You should grow your mustache out and do this at a saloon. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, this is all I know how to play. Woke up this morning, 9:45. You started complaining, so I did you again. You're welcome. You're welcome. No, I didn't want to, but I did you in the poo. You're welcome.
I love it.
Hey, nice.
Thank you. I'll be here all week.
Go see John Lovitz at the Improv tonight, tomorrow night, and then two shows on Saturday, ImprovTampa.com. Anything else you want to plug? Websites, podcasts?
Oh, I'm on that game show, $100,000 parent.
Oh, you are?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got a game show, but actually had a lot of fun. I had fun playing the game, and I was very, I just said, I'm just going to try to be funny.
Well, you were good at it?
I did Celebrity Apprentice. Of course I was good at it. You fool. I'm good at everything.
Celebrity Apprentice.
Because I prepare.
Yes.
You have to practice.
Yes.
I practiced a lot with the producer in the show.
Uh-huh.
So I did well. She goes, well, because you practice so much.
Oh, that's good.
I go, didn't the other people? She's like, one other guy.
Mm-hmm. What Celebrity Apprentice? The new one? The Schwarzenegger one?
Yes.
Oh, how is that? That's going to be huge.
It was, you know, I'm glad I did it, but I wouldn't do it again.
No?
No.
You too tough?
Yeah, it's really hard because it's not what I do. It's all about branding and...
Basically, it's calling your rich friends and asking for money. That's what it always boils down to on a show. Who wrote, hello, Dana? I need $10,000 for a charity thing.
The cast is...
But I had a good time. Everybody on it was really nice. We all liked each other.
Right.
So when you have to go, okay, you have to fire somebody. Like, nobody wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Arnold had to keep going, like, come on, you have to.
Yeah. Yeah, who fires you?
Hmm?
Who fires you?
I am not saying anything.
Mm. What?
We're not allowed to say anything about that.
We know you didn't win.
We don't know anything.
Rob, who's the cast?
Right now, Layla Ali, daughter of Muhammad Ali.
Thanks for clearing that up.
She's great.
Charvet. Eric Dickerson.
Okay.
Boy George.
How's Boy George? You get along with Boy George?
Yeah.
Okay.
Boy George is a genius.
Love it. Come down. You know.
Who else?
Yeah, I liked him. George.
Matt Eisman.
He was very funny.
Yeah?
And I liked making him laugh, yeah.
Who else did you get along with on the show?
I got along with everybody.
Well, they team you up, right? Don't you end up having like partners?
It's not a sexual show. What is wrong?
You're the one.
What is wrong with you?
I'm saying like team A and team B.
No, you said partners.
Like work partners.
Oh, God. Get your mind out of it.
Rob, who are the hot girls on the show?
Carney Wilson.
No, the hot ones on
Portia
the show.
Portia Williams. Portia Williams from Real Housewives of Atlanta was married to Cordell Stewart.
Okay.
I like both of those women.
You like Carney Wilson too?
Yeah.
You're lying. Who else?
No, Snooki. I'm not lying. She's nice. Snooki, you know, I never really watched that show, but she's completely different than when she did that show.
She can't be much smarter. She probably looks better.
No, she's like, night and day different person.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, I don't call her Snooki. We call her Nicole.
Oh, I don't like that.
She was completely different. Very nice.
Okay.
Nothing like the girl on the show. Zero. I mean, the few times I saw it, but she was nothing.
Okay.
Just... Hello, how are you, John? Good to see you. You know, I'm like, oh, you're just like regular.
Yeah, she's lucky to be there.
No, I think she's got a couple kids now.
Yeah,
she. Well, she was like 20. Now she's almost, 29.
Right, she's adulting out.
But everybody was very, very nice.
Being a mom into like a business because she does a whole bunch of like beach
Snooki mom
there.
Stuff. Who else?
Kyle Richards from the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Very nice.
Lisa Leslie, the WNBA champion.
Very nice.
Okay.
And then a bunch of dudes, Vince Neil.
Kerry Keegan is also in there as well.
Yeah, Kerry.
Vince Neil, you like him?
Yeah, I was friends with him years ago. And then he moved to Vegas, and then he came. Then we're doing the show together, so we hung out a lot.
Who wins the show?
The winner is...
Sometimes I thought I'd trip you up and be
like,
oh,
truth. By the
way.
Yeah. I know what you're trying to do. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 10 steps ahead of you.
Mm-hmm. Don't give me that.
I act like I don't know what's going on, but I do.
I didn't really think you were going to go, oh, Lisa
Leslie.
Oh,
the winner is blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Here's the truth. This is the truth. I don't know. They haven't told us.
Okay. I believe you.
So I really don't know.
I have no reason not to believe you, John.
Yeah, because they do it live.
I do know who it came down to.
Right.
Between.
Right.
But I can't say that either. But
two men,
I don't know.
Two women, a man, a woman.
I can't say. Right. I'm not allowed. They said don't say. But
what are they going to do?
Obviously, somebody won.
They can put you in jail if you do. What are they going to do to you?
I don't even want to think.
You'd make
about
national
it.
News.
Here's
Lovitz spoils
that's
Apprentice.
That's right. And listen, don't kid yourself. any press I do, I don't care. You go, oh, you were just in a little room in Tampa. Who cares? Someone gets a hold of it, it goes all over.
Of course. So that's the internet, what I'm saying.
It's like everything's everywhere now. That's what's so weird.
Yeah,
I could be in my hotel room, in my bathroom, making love to my dog, which is my business,
in the bathroom.
And it would go all over the world. Well, I'm not going to do it in bed.
I know.
It's a dog. But the point is, you can't do anything anymore without people going, ew, ew. I'm like, he consented.
You have a girlfriend now?
No.
So this weekend in Tampa, you'd be available. Ladies listening to the show and thinking, that'd be my kind of guy, John Lovitz. He's funny.
Sure.
Smart. Plays the piano. He's got nimble fingers.
You want to hear something funny, though? One time after a show, I was like, I had the flu. I felt really sick.
Right.
So it was after my last show. So I'm waiting in this bar area outside this club to get paid. And I'm with my dog, and I'm just like, who's very cute, little dog. And I'm sitting there. He's a pug chihuahua. So I'm sitting there with him, and I'm like trying not to throw up. I'm just sitting there like, ugh. And these two women come up. Were most unattractive. And they're like, they're acting like they're really hot.
Right.
And they're going, oh, hey, John, how you doing? I go, oh, hi, good. You were really funny. You want to come have a drink with us? I go, well, thank you. And then they're petting my dog. You know. Anyway, no, what I noticed was my dog's super friendly.
Yeah.
But then this one woman bent down to pet him. He didn't look at her. He like turned his back to her. And I was like, oh.
The dog gets
he
it.
He does not like her.
Right.
And he likes everybody. So I noticed that. He's like, oh, you want to come have a drink with us? And I'm like, no. But I'm like, sorry. But which I said the truth, which was, you know, thank you. But I go, I'm just waiting to get paid. And I'm really sick. I don't feel good. But thank you. And my energy was really low.
Yeah,
I was really sick. So anyway, then I go and I look on Twitter and they tweeted, John Lovitz. He's funny on stage. But off stage, he's an asshole. And his dog is like, you know, ugly and ended up. So I go, hey, lady, I was so angry that she slammed my dog. Because dog, as you know, if you have a dog, it becomes like your kid. You're like, if someone touches your dog, you'll kill him.
Yeah.
You'll go, don't, you know, you go nuts. It's your little dog. So I said, I go, hey, I told you I was sick and I wasn't feeling good. I go, and something about, you know, you go after my dog, you bitch.
Right.
And
you're most offended.
Only a lowlife would go after a dog. Yeah, his dog's really ugly. I'm like, what is wrong with you? You're calling my dog ugly. Yeah, I didn't care about me, but my
don't
dog.
Go after the kids. I got you.
Right.
Yeah. Well, how long have you had that dog?
5 years.
Oh, yeah. So you're bonded in everything.
He's
your buddy.
In movies. Yes, we're very close. He's in. Where is he?
Yeah, I think they're.
He's in movies. He's in. If you see Mother's Day, I was in that movie. Yeah. Anyway, Gary Marshall directed it. And my friend Wayne Rice produced it, so I got in. So I said, Gary's like, keep the dog. So I'm on stage with my dog. It's very funny.
That's awesome. Yeah. But for now he's healthy. Although he may choke to death. If he doesn't choke to death today, he'll be healthy this weekend. So ladies. John Lovitz is available, and know that
who's choking to death.
You're coughing. I feel bad for you. I feel like you have some sort of.
It's allergies. It's phlegm.
Oh, probably that makes it
not your fault, but there's probably dust in here.
It's not my fault, but there is plenty of dust in here
that resides on your unused organs. I don't want to say.
Thank you.
Dust that resides on your unused. Dick Nixon was president.
Very good. Very good. I think you are very funny. I appreciate you getting up early and coming in here today. I recommend that people
go see
John
Lovitz. Well, I appreciate you saying that. But you know, talk is cheap. Little dough, you don't mind.
Look, you'll hit your sellout bonus this weekend, I'm sure, at the Improv.
What's the rating? How many people do you think are listening to
2 million people.
Right now,
yes.
2 million?
Well, there's 3 million people in the Tampa Bay area.
You think 2 million people are listening to this show
there's
right now?
There's a potential of 2 million people to hear this show.
But if just a million, would you say at least a million are listening right
yes.
now? All right, so if all million bought tickets, I'd really appreciate it.
I don't know. You could have stiff competition in town. I don't know who's at the other comedy club.
Stiff competition. Mm. There you go again. What is wrong with you?
I'm sorry. It's you. You bring out the worst in me.
diff competition.
Thank you for getting up early and coming in here.
Yes. Well, thank you for sincerely having me on your show again.
Yeah.
And now I'll play your favorite song.
I don't know where I'm supposed to look. I feel like if I look in your eyes, we're going to fall in love.
I don't think so. I just called. You were married last time.
I'm still am, yeah.
And what does your wife look like?
She's hot.
Is she?
You want to see a picture of her?
Yes.
This is the portion of the show, or?
This is a Billy Joel song, She's Got Away.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Let me hear it. You're playing it wrong.
No, I'm not playing it wrong.
I didn't recognize it. I'm a huge Billy Joel fan. I didn't recognize it.
She's got a way about her. Your wife's behind me?
She's over your right-hand shoulder. Yeah, that's my wife.
Oh.
There you go. Yeah.
Very attractive.
Well, thank you. She's no Janice Dickinson. That's good, Carmen, because if you only show one picture, then you're like, oh, she just took one good
Nothing's
picture.
Nothing's wrong with that photo. Her arm looks bigger than yours.
Yeah, it was an angle shot. She works out. That's my grandmother. So there you go.
Oh, your grandmother. See more pictures of your grandmother.
Easy, Lovitz. All right.
You showed me the picture. Right? Your wife looks like she's 20.
Yeah, she does.
In that photo, doesn't she?
Yeah, she looks young. She's not, though. She's getting old.
No, she's not. She's
getting
young.
Wrinkly?
No, she's pretty tight. She's pretty tight. She's good looking. I got lucky. What? You said she's 20. She's in her 30s.
Yeah, I said, is she getting old? No, she's pretty tight.
Tight.
Jesus, get your mind out of the gutter.
He was talking about wrinkles, I think.
This is She's Got Away.
Now I hear it. You sing it, now it makes me.
Is it Mike?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. An hour.
Mike's got a way about him. I don't know what it is, but he ain't from Mars. It's more like Venus. Mike's got a way about him. I don't know what it is, but he's always playing with Caitlin's penis everywhere.
That's beautiful. John Lovitz.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Thank you. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you.
Oh.
It's all the same with you. Do you need anything while you're here?
No, Mr. Sex on the Brain.
I wasn't offering to come over.
Do you need anything?
I'm just saying, you're in town for the weekend.
You're in town for the weekend.
It must get boring.
Need anything? No, but thank you.
Okay.
You're married.
Try to be your friend.
And I'm not gay. But thank you.
Let me know.
Nothing wrong. Let me know if you change your mind.
You and the dog.
Perhaps you'd like it from the behind. No, thank you. I
meant while you were in Tampa. I don't know. I like you. I wanted you to have a good time in Tampa. I figured while you're here, if you need anything, let us know. I don't know. Jesus. Mike, it's on the sign behind me. You'll remember for next.
Calta?
Yeah.
California, Tampa. Is that what that's short for?
Yep.
All right. Figured
it out.
I'll take it.
Calta.
Love it.
Is that Armenian? Is it?
No, it's Italian.
Wait a minute. Let me guess. Calta. Is that French?
Yes, French. Oui.
Oh, I thought it was Italian.
Yeah. We'll take a quick break. It's my Calta show.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.